Hey guys, TMG Podcast episode 188. This is Carlos, and with me is Miggy.
Hello,
Migs.
There.
God. Yeah. Migs. Yeah. I'm not used to it yet.
I mean, we're two episodes in, dude.
yeah. Say. My fault. Matt is also with us.
Hello.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a podcast about video games. And yeah, if you guys listened to the previous ones, I'm just used to having Miggy around. Miggy's still here, you know, he's still part of the Rosette. He's just not with us in the podcast right now.
Yep.
And we just so happen to have like two Miguels.
I mean, you could pretend three. I was a Migoy.
Or four.
It is I, Migoy.
Miggy.
I like.
I say Miggy.
I like.
Migoy's a whole different.
I like Nier Automata and Transformers.
You do like Nier Automata and Transformers. Mm-hmm. Even
you know what? You know, you know my dream. My dream is to get a third Miguel on. Too much gaming.
It's too much now.
Can it happen? Will it happen? We're on a roll.
It's possible.
So, you know.
I just want to be in a situation where, you know, like we show up at a convention or whatever, and, like we're lining up for like a media event, and we're like, you're gonna have to mess with Migs, and me.
That's now my goal. Because, you know, we got one, you know, I'd like to have a podcast with just at least three Miguels. Mm-hmm. Guess who they are, you know what I mean? yeah, this is what is this? April 14, and oh my god, we got Respawn Entertainment, and we're going to start off with that because we got footage of them doing a Star Wars game. They're doing a game that is not Apex Legends. They got a game that is... it kind of makes sense. Like, you know, we have like episode 9 coming out this year, is it?
Mm-hmm. This December.
And... I just want to take this moment to say the legends are true. All of it.
Yeah.
Teasing this a bit last year also, that they are making and developing a Star Wars game. And now it's the week that they've revealed the trailer for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yep, that was this morning, actually. Well, yeah. this morning for us here in you know, where we are, but that was, I think, afternoon or evening for the North America. Yeah.
Is that the story trailer?
Yeah, it's a story trailer.
Mm-mm. And, reason why I mentioned episode 9 a while ago is because it's coming out this year, right?
Yep,
that's
December.
Right.
December,
it kind of makes sense that, you know, EA would have, like, just like any other, like, episodes, I think, 7 and 8, they had an EA game, like, a game from EA, like, Battlefront 2, you know what I mean?
I like to joke that, you know, EA, what? You know, to your point, Disney's like, look, okay, we're putting out the last film in the sequel trilogy, you know, we better have a really awesome, you know, story single-player game now, because, like, it's been how many years... Let's get this done, folks.
But yeah, it's already we got a trailer. Yeah, Matt, let us know what it's pretty much a very detailed trailer. It feels promising. It looks promising rather. And yeah, what we know so far about this Respawn Entertainment Star Wars game.
So yeah, well, it wasn't that much of a heavy look. Like you said, it was a story trailer, and I'm kind of glad I didn't stay up late. Just to watch it, right?
I thought you did, because when I woke up, I'm like, oh, trailers. Oh, wait, we have a post. Mm, okay.
Well, I usually wake up at about six in the morning, so that's enough time to wham bam something together for you before you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I woke up at 11, but yeah.
But anyway,
But
anyway, yeah. So Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, it's going to be according to Respawn, they really, really like tried to sell this like repeatedly. As a single-player story experience with no multiplayer or microtransactions, they said it.
I like how they have to say microtransactions, though. Yeah.
They covered everything in one sentence. Okay, like you know, you don't like microtransactions; they're not in there.
Yeah.
You like single player; it's in there. You don't want multiplayer; it's not in there. You want a story; it's in there. Duh.
That's how Respawn Entertainment did Apex Legends. Like they were saying, like, yeah, we have like loot boxes in our game, in our free to play game. Mm-hmm. We get it. You hate it, but we would like the model.
Yeah.
Also, here's the chance sheet that everybody wants. You don't have to touch it. And then, you know, it's very transparent. No one's giving them shit for loot boxes, by the way. Loot boxes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? So yeah, it's pretty cool that they're very transparent, and
This is wait, I don't even know the setting of this new game, but it's definitely okay. In between. I don't know.
Yeah, Matt, tell us more about what Jedi Fallen Order is about, like story wise.
They... I know this hardly means anything in the age of everybody loves Star Wars, but as you already know, I am a massive Star Wars nerd.
Oh yeah,
and
just like 90% of the country. Yeah.
So Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will take place after Episode 3, The Revenge of the Sith. It's sort of basically taking place in that time between the rise of the Empire and the time of the old movies when, you know, when Luke and everybody, like, you know, get together with a rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be playing Cal Kestis, which is he's a Jedi Padawan.
Not an exercise program. Yeah, <you're>...
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Jedi Padawan who survived the Order 66. Basically the order to execute all Jedi. And yeah, he's the story trailer kind of lays this out. He's on the run, but he's also like trying to make ends meet by doing construction work and working in the shipyards, keep a low profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even says stuff like, you know, don't stand out, accept the past and trust no one, you know, kind of like, you know, he's incognito. And
right.
But by the end, by halfway through the trailer, he sort of rescues someone using his force powers, and that brings him to the attention of the Empire. And according to Respawn, you'll be playing that character in a game that focuses on on third-person melee combat.
Mm.
So this is third-person. Interesting. This is their first. This could be their first third-person assistant.
Yeah, I thought this was a first-person thing. Since it's Respawn Entertainment, so it's actually third person. Interesting.
Yeah, third person and melee combat, and they're calling it internally. They call it thoughtful combat. That's what they're calling it inside the studio, in a sense that you'll be using your powers and your abilities and your attack maneuvers, like with your lightsaber, to like really exploit the weaknesses of your enemies.
Uh huh.
So that's going to be a thing, trying to combine. All that stuff, and I feel like that sounds like it's really up Respawn's alley. Like, while they've been focusing on multiplayer first person shooters for a while, that thing about having a lot of momentum and like punching people while also like shooting them down, all that stuff, like that sounds really like if you play Titanfall 2 or even Titanfall 1, the pilot is pretty much as close as that universe can get to having a Jedi.
Yeah, that's true. And you can also see shades of Titanfall in the trailer when, like there's one scene in the trailer where Calisthenics or Cal Kestis were actually wall running in one scene where some of the stormtroopers are actually firing at him. And the same animation of the wall running from Titanfall is being used, I think.
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot they did a wall climbing. Like, wow, I rewound Titanfall 3.
I'm sure it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's really all. What else do we got here? Like, this is actually a pretty exciting stuff to actually have. What looks like legit. Like, this is gonna be a great game to get excited for.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't get any real gameplay footage. It's all like...
Yeah, we don't have that.
There's all cinematically communicated stuff, but, you know, I'm still pretty excited based on the pedigree of Respawn Entertainment. When we've talked about them in the podcast before, like, you know, they don't exactly have a long and storied library of games they've made, but everything they've made is good, and they do have, like... The people who work on Respawn are former alumni of Call of Duty studio Infinity Ward. Yeah, mm-hmm. Infinity Ward. Yeah. So there's that kind of like reputation going for them. And it's interesting that all of these things are coming together. Oh, by the way, it's using the Unreal Engine and not the Frostbite Engine.
Good for them. That's Respawn.
Did they also just like blur it out that we're not using the Frostbite engine?
Did they share that on the marketing presentation?
It's definitely in the press release. I'm not sure if it was actually mentioned on the panel because I didn't get to watch the entire live stream.
Damn.
Yeah, because if I was in the marketing team for EA, I was like, do not like make heavy emphasis that we're not using the Frostbite because we're getting a shitstorm right now with our Frostbite.
I mean, I think Respawn has never ever used that platform anyways during their past games, like in Apex Legends or in their Titanfall games. It's always Unreal or Source Engine.
Yes, Source Engine, that's the technology that currently powers, well, not currently, it powered Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
and it's proven to be an engine that isn't really used by that many big AAA games, but whenever it does get used, it seems to be a very flexible and powerful toolkit.
Mm-hmm. As shown in Titanfall. So.
Yeah.
That's good.
In fact,
what are your hopes?
I assumed it was
going to
be the Source Engine.
I'm sorry, Carlos, what is it?
No, I mean, like, with this... No, it's just moving a bit forward. Like, with this new Star Wars game, we have a lot of, like, cancellations of, like, Star Wars titles, like, you know, from Visceral Games and whatnot. Do you think this is coming in line and, like, this is their... That's what we can expect from,
well,
Jedi, from this game?
We hope so, because this was set to come out at November, right? And honestly, based on the trailer alone, I'm kind of like in for it. Like I'm genuinely excited about this one. Respawn Entertainment hasn't done that much wrong during their past games. Like everything I've played from Respawn's actually good. And it's a Star Wars game, and it kind of it's kind of reminiscent of the old Jedi Outcast or Jedi Academy games that LucasArts made before. It's like a third person Star Wars game where you play as a Jedi. So yeah, I'm definitely excited about this one.
And this is a Padawan, right? Mm-hmm. So he's a little bit aware. This could be cool then. I guess we'll see him progress.
I've talked to Matt the same time that I think during the morning where the trailer got out. I was joking to Matt that, do you think that during episode 3, when Anakin visited the younglings and he's about to kill all of them, is that one youngling actually got out of that ordeal and it was Cal Kestis? But Matt pointed out that it's too much of a youngling to be Cal.
Yeah, like the characters would be too young to be Cal because there are only 19 years between episode 3 and episode 4. So if there was a 5-year-old who got away from Anakin, he'd only be like, what, 15?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 12 or something by the time we pick up with Jedi Fallen Order.
I would be like laughing my ass off if that happened. Like if that's the actual case where the ones who greeted Anakin were actually Cal. Like that wee boy.
But you know, so I have two things. I have two big takeaways from this announcement, which sort of like fall in line with a lot of the speculation I've been sharing over social media.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that, first of all, this is a Hail Mary pass. This is like a last gambit for EA and for Star Wars, because everyone knows EA has not fared the best with bringing the Star Wars license into like some gaming greats. Now they have an exclusive contract with Disney to develop Star Wars games, and the only thing they've made is Star Wars Battlefront 1 and Star Wars Battlefront 2. And They have made a bunch of mobile games, but otherwise everything else, like trying to make like a big deal Star Wars experience, that hasn't happened, despite the fact that they developed Ragdag on codename Ragdag at Visceral Studios, and they made codename Orca at EA Motive, their Montreal-based studio. So there's been a lot of like aborted projects underneath EA's run. And what's making it even more like complicated for them is that when they released Battlefront 2, they were supposed to implement some microtransactions, but when the press and the fans got wind of how the microtransactions work, they were not happy, and it caused EA to not even implement the microtransactions, which is funny because, as I mentioned before in this podcast, a lot of people think there are, still are heavy pay-to-win microtransactions in Battlefront 2, which there are not. they didn't get to launch with them. That's how bad it got. And it was one of the like big incidents or big controversies of early 2018 that caused legislators to really investigate loot boxes. So this is... And Disney and EA like to play polite about this. Like, Disney says... Oh, it keeps saying that they're happy with EA, which seems really weird. And
are they?
They say...
What?
Look it up. There are press releases and there are statements from Disney executives saying that they're happy with the franchise right now. And I'm like, you know, okay, that is some thick-skinned, thick-faced kind of like, you know, bald-faced, I don't know, what do you call it?
No, well, I don't know. Like, the reception is bad towards, like, in recent years. But if they're just showing them the numbers that, you know, hey, you know, we sold this much, you know, like the numbers. Because, for example, just to have one example, Battlefront 2 was a shit show, but I'm sure it sold.
Yeah,
Not what they expected, but they sold millions for sure. Just like how N1 did, even though that was a shit show as well.
But I have to remind you that companies are not happy with making a lot of money. They want to make all the money possible. So,
well, yeah, but I'm just saying that, like, whatever the execs from EA said, they were able to twist it in a sense, you know, with what they had when it came out, and I'm not really that surprised by that.
I think at this point, this is kind of like those weird situations where Disney could arguably say that they're not happy with the license, but if they did that, it would stain the relationship they have with EA, and it would also make all other future EA Star Wars games, for as long as the contract runs, damaged. Imagine if Disney said, by the way, we're not happy with Star Wars, and then the EA says, here's a Star Wars game. Would you buy that game? You would have a big question mark.
I would have a big question mark, yeah.
Right? So they have to say that. Mm-hmm. But because of that relationship, because of that failure to deliver on EA's part, and the stain of the microtransactions sort of like besmirching the brand of Star Wars to some degree, there is a great incentive between LucasArts, Disney, and EA to really collaborate together to make this work to the best of their ability. And if that means sort of forcing EA's hand away from some of its worst practices, that's what they're going to do.
You know what's actually pretty funny? That I was like all in when I played Star Wars Battlefront 1. When I played the beta, like as just a fan,
uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, this is, oh, I loved it. I played it. So I bought it on day one.
Ooh. Mm.
And not to realize that I played 50% of the game in beta. So only that alone kind of like shifted me away from the sequel. And then when I saw the shit show that happened with their microtransactions, I was just like giggling and I just couldn't stop giggling.
Mm-hmm.
But here now we have a new game with not anymore DICE. This is now Respawn Entertainment. This studio seems to be very thick-skinned. They seem to be like they're making what they want.
Yeah.
That's
what it feels like.
Yeah, and I've talked.
Sorry.
And I've talked about this before, like to your point, which is that we had a conversation about BioWare recently, about how I personally feel that some of the things that in BioWare could have been avoided if either A, they had the spine to stand up to EA leadership and say, look, I respect your suggestions of what we're supposed to do to align with your corporate goals, but we can't do them because that would be making like the games that we don't want to make or games that we believe that will not be successful. They could have done that, or they could have at least had like somebody in their leadership who has that kind of spine, and that's not there. And I feel like in the case of Respawn Entertainment, after Titanfall 2 sort of like, you know, Titanfall 2, as you remember, was released at a bad release window, and it's a game that was so crushed by that bad release window that Vince Zampella, the CEO of Respawn Entertainment,
mm-hmm.
there is published evidence of him rolling his eyes next to EA publicists. Like at one point, he said something like he was with an EA publicist and they were talking about Titanfall's release, which was just maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks out, and the sales were not very good and everybody knew it. And the EA publicist was saying like, "Oh, you know, we believe this and we believe that, and you know, we're really committed to the Titanfall franchise." And Vince Zampella says in this words, he says, "Whatever the fuck that means," and he rolled his eyes.
Yeah, because it's actually more context.
He's basically saying, "What's this? Thanks, EA, for fucking my game."
Yeah.
To add more context, because Titanfall 1 came out in March.
Mm-mm.
It came out in the first quarter, and that
it did reasonably well.
It did reasonably well, and it was only out on PC and Xbox One.
Yeah.
Okay, window. And then we have Titanfall 2, which is now a multi-platform game. Much more fleshed out. Single-player campaign. Multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
All the bells and whistles that everybody complained about in the first game. And then it comes out, I think, a week or two before
Battlefield 1. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about that game.
And then, of course, sales were small or low.
Because everyone's going to play Battlefield.
No one's going to play. No, not just Battlefield 1. We're talking about Call of Duty also happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
super
crowded. Like, it's just an icing on the cake because, like, oh, EA wants to fight each other. Okay, sure.
Three shooters.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Three multiplayer shooters. Which one do I buy? How about the one which all my friends are on already?
Yeah, that is cool.
When I was excited about Titanfall 2, I was like, okay, it'll come out in March. You know, it'll definitely come out in March. It makes more sense it'll come out in March. Yeah. No, it does not come out in March. They don't know how it works. So, you know, with that history, and then now they are doing, well, and then the reaction of the CEO, you know, I am, and of course, the quality of their games, even with how they're even dealing with Apex Legends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am very optimistic about their take on a single-player only title.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want to close off that discussion of the whole history of Titanfall 2. Like, I just want to sort of condense that and basically just say that, you know, Respawn has accumulated so much bad blood from EA and goodwill from its own products that they're kind of like, all right, listen, you want us to do a Star Wars game? Then we'll do a Star Wars game, but we have to do it this way. We have to do it with tools we respect. We have to do it without that live service stuff that you guys are so obsessed about. And we have to do it on the terms that Disney really wants. Like, all of this stuff. I feel like this is what happens when you have a studio that has the wherewithal and the balls to stand up to EA. And I don't mean like some kind of revolutionary resistance. It's just that even if you are a wholly owned studio, even if your studio is wholly owned by some corporate leadership, it also behooves you to say, well, yeah, but I have to also do the best. I have to represent my department as best as I can and do what I believe like best benefits them and all of us in EA.
Mm-hmm. And it also helps that they've had the same bullshit, they've experienced the same bullshit during their Activision days when they were developing Call of Duty. So
yeah.
Respawn knows, so they, like, Respawn oh, knows thanks. How to handle this kind of stuff.
Or the top honchos are the ones who are very experienced with that bullshit.
I actually really appreciate you supplying that context, Migs, because I was not aware of that. I mean, I'm dimly aware of that they had relationships with Activision, but yeah. If you have leaders who can take the adversity for the team, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily like saying fuck you to corporate masters, or it's not necessarily saying, like, you know, being difficult to work with. It's just basically saying you have a strong personality who can negotiate between the creative side and the business side, and that benefits Respawn the most, especially when they definitely have the kind of leverage that, you know, that puts them in a position of saying, hey, why don't we not fuck Titanfall, and also why don't we make you a Star Wars game that will benefit all of us.
Yep. And yeah, I'm really excited. We don't have any other details about this moving forward. We don't have any like, hey, we're going to show us gameplay footage. And actually, you know what? We're probably going to see it in we're pretty much like a couple of months away from E3. So I think that's the best time we'll see something.
As I mentioned in the article I wrote for our site, TooMuchGaming.net, it's most likely that we're going to see some gameplay footage at EA Play 2019, which is the EA press conference and event that happens about a day or two before proper. So expect some
footage. I like our synergy that we did there. I was hoping you'd do that, and you did it. Awesome. Anyway, moving on.
So,
speaking of EA.
Yeah, speaking of more EA and BioWare
stuff. I just realized that our topics for this week, actually, I didn't even mention the start of the episode, because it's all EA. We talk about, you know, the latest from Respawn, and we got more info of BioWare's next project. Or not info, more of actually more context of the troubled journey with BioWare in between their other projects, with the Andromeda, with Anthem. Because I'm sure you guys are all well aware, Jason Schreier had a big expose on exactly what happened in Anthem. So before anything else, I highly suggest you check that out, because it's a great read. It might take a long time, but it's definitely worth your time. And if you want to hear our thoughts on it, you know, check out episode 187, because we pretty much talk about all of the big ones, the big bombshells that came out of that expose, that article. And then, of course, Jason Schreier follows it up with his information about the upcoming game for BioWare, which is Dragon Age 4. And, yeah, thanks to all the... In a nutshell, or no, just to start it off, that's not a very smooth production for that game, for Dragon Age 4.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mass Effect Andromeda, thanks to Anthem.
Yeah.
And it's another... when I was reading that article, it's pretty much more of a, BioWare cannot do multiple projects, it seems, at the same time, because of this little thing, BioWare Magic, which I guess if you don't know what it means, I really suggest you read the expose. But yeah, BioWare Magic, the whole crunch time, I am really just kind of worried about how Dragon Age 4 will develop, because the team that is in charge of making this RPG is just being tossed around left and right based on Jason Schreier's article.
Yeah.
Am I right, Mick? Matt?
Yeah, it's not great. Now, before I proceed, I would like to remind everybody that this episode is sponsored by Origin. If you enter an offer code in, you can get 30% off EA Access
3%.
Premier. No, guys, I'm not.
Your joke didn't even give 2% more than the usual.
Wait, this is for real. Like EA stuff. There's a sale right now in Origin. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I went to
no. He was joking. That's why I was like pulling off the fact that he went for 3% instead of a 5%. Like
I said 30%.
Oh, you said 30. Okay, never mind. I was even listening.
That's kind of probably generous for Origin standards, to be honest.
It is, it is. But no, for real. What? So basically, in the process of investigating and reporting on Anthem, by Schreier's own account, he received a lot of information about Dragon Age, and what ultimately the story that he's telling here in his article is about how they're trying to make Dragon Age, but as you said, Carlos, they're being bounced around all the time to address different projects. And that has sort of like taken the wind out of their sails in making Dragon Age to an extent that they have canceled the previous version of Dragon Age. It's codenamed Joplin.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be centered around the Tevinter Imperium. Because if you play Dragon Age Inquisition, if you play Dragon Age 2, they're always talking about Orlais.
Yeah.
And Orlais plays heavily in Dragon Age Inquisition. In Dragon Age Inquisition, characters talk a lot about the Tevinter Imperium and what life is like there in a place where, you know, the religion is different, the attitude towards magic is very different. You know,
that's a wizard ruled country, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's a wizard ruled country. Their pope, their divine is male instead of female. you know, I don't want to get too deep into weeds about the lore here for people who aren't necessarily massive hardcore Dragon Age fans.
But essentially, like their concept for the next Dragon Age was supposed to be a good spin, like not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like what you expect from Inquisition was like an open world massive game. This one's actually more contained and focused on espionage and choices and consequences
And heists.
They said Dragon Age and heists. How can you say those two words in the same time? But that's what they were, you know, thinking of doing.
I mean, Fast and Furious can do it. Any game.
Well,
can
do it anyway. Miguel has a point.
That's true. No, but my point is like that was the concept they were going for this version of Dragon Age 4, but sadly that's already canceled. So they have a new version. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about that. About the whole Dragon Age development team is that the intention was that, because if you've ever read about like how Dragon Age Inquisition was made, it suffered from the similar BioWare magic that Carlos has been describing, which is basically that everything just kind of like was rushed towards the end, and it was a miracle that it actually turned out good. Mm-hmm. And so when they started the Dragon Age 4 project, they were saying things like, "All right, guys, we're not going to do that again."
They were trying to prevent that shit from happening. Like, it was a complete vision. Let's stick with it. Let's do it.
I love some of the things they say. For example, they said, like, we are no longer going to be stalled by executive decision-making process.
Right.
We're going to empower everybody so that making the second best decision is better than making no decision at all. That's something that comes up in the piece.
Hmm.
So all that stuff, like they really want to make things happen. But then suddenly there'll be all hands on deck situation to fix up Mass Effect Andromeda. So the entire team has to like slow down and make that happen. In fact, if you play Mass Effect Andromeda to the end, there's a section in the credits called the Dragon Age Finishing Team.
Right, yep. Finaling team. I want to put in more of that context with the fact that once, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, when I say this, once Inquisition ended, the DA team didn't go in to jump in to codename Joplin. Like the whole team going, no, they half that team. So that's half of that team went to Andromeda, and the other half, I think a smaller portion of them, started producing, you know, the whole spies concept for Codename Joplin. So,
well, that seems like a natural consequence of how teams are managed in video game studios that try to juggle multiple projects, which is that by the time you're going to pre-production phase or into concept phase, you need a smaller team than you actually have to make the whole game, and the other team gets like reassigned to a project that is already in full scale, like is already ramping up. And remember, this is the BioWare Edmonton studio is the one that develops Dragon Age, the BioWare main headquarters. And anybody who's followed the development of Mass Effect Andromeda knows that it was developed by Montreal, but then later got the involvement of the Edmonton team. So it's kind of like, you know, you follow the whole story of BioWare from 2012 to 2019, and you see where everything, like, sort of all the pieces line up. So it's not quite an anomaly, but definitely, like, you know, they needed to, like, reassign everything if they were going to be efficient. The problem was that this was a pattern that kept happening, which is that when Andromeda needed Edmonton people and then it finished, suddenly Anthem was the new Edmonton project and that needed to be finished as well. So, you know, even if BioWare Edmonton had plans for Dragon Age and clear visions and clear ideas and wanted to make sure that they had working tools for their everything ahead of time, it would keep getting derailed by these kind of emergencies. And next thing you know, they just couldn't get started until, as you say, Carlos, they got cancelled and the project got cancelled and replaced by another version of Dragon Age 4.
What's the code name for this one? I forgot the latest
one. It's called Morrison. I believe it's named after Jim Morrison, but I'd like to think it was named after Toni Morrison, but that's just me.
Well, yeah. But this one, I think this reboot version of it. At first, they were actually talking about how to greatly implement and how to make it like sell months from now, months after release. They're talking about some live service because that's how EA's mindset is right now with most of their games, where there has to be some kind of a live service component. that would help them sell in the long run. And that's something that they've been playing around with since the reboot. And
yeah,
and thanks to with that kind of, like, I think BioWare's only sense of multiplayer before was that survival multiplayer in Dragon Age 3, and that wouldn't cut it. And so people were like wondering if, you know, I think now people are, Casey Hunden has told people that there's just gonna be more story driven and more focus, and I think they're steering away from that now.
I think, okay, here's the thing. I think it's important, as a disclaimer for all of us here who are sitting on the sidelines as pundits and consumers and readers, to be aware that even Schreier has stressed that this isn't to say that Dragon Age 4 is doomed, only that Dragon Age 4 has experienced trouble in trying to get started even before they've begun. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's also important to know that the Dragon Age team has admitted that even they don't know what Dragon Age 4 will really look like at the end. Like, right now, they're going towards live services. Right now, they're going towards some kind of multiplayer functionality. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be Anthem with dragons. But by the BioWare's team, they're still going like, oh, okay, we don't know what it is, but we have to do these things. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we have to do these things. So that's something that we need to be very cautious about before we judge too harshly.
Right.
And it's also important to know that one of the things that has always been bothering the Dragon Age team is that they would make these DLCs, but nobody would really play them. And that kind of sucks for them, because when they were making Dragon Age Inquisition, they were making the tools, they were making their pipeline, and this is common to all developers. Like, sometimes games are made while they're being made. You get what I'm saying? Like there's a metaphor I see a lot in game development. They talk about it. They say, like, making a video game is like trying to film a movie while building the camera.
Right.
And so one of the things that makes developers very proud of is their DLC, because they usually consider it their highest quality work in terms of story, in terms of design, because they're no longer obsessed with building tools, and they're no longer obsessed with learning about the tools. They're just focused on making the games and designing the games and writing them and creating them. And that can be a very invigorating, like, stage in the creative process. So it kind of sucks when they have to start all over again when they make new games.
And I honestly, as a consumer, for myself, like, I really hate that kind of, like, as much as, you know, that's the process, I really hate that, because I am not a person that buys DLC at all.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing. That's exactly a concern.
It's people like you that
they talked about, actually, which is that they knew that even though they made the DLC, they would look at their numbers and they say, like, the number of people who buy DLC is very low, because they're already on to the next big thing. And something that they've been thinking about is how games as a service is a way of being able to make DLC like story chunks well at the time, well ahead of learning the tools, while also being able to ensure that the most number of players are able to enjoy them when they're bundled into the experience.
But good. We don't know exactly the full details of what's happening with BioWare right now, because they have a lot of things to fix. Is there another project that actually will be tied in with Dragon Age 4? They still also have, like, Anthem being fixed. I don't know if they are actually thinking about a new Mass Effect or even a new title. We don't even know. But the thing is, BioWare is now in a point where I'd like to think that BioWare is in a point where this is their last big hurrah, whatever the last big problem. For me, because it really is. Like, I don't know if they can have enough fuel to actually do another Mass Effect after Andromeda. Depends on how well Anthem does as well. And if this Dragon Age 4 does not produce the same reception like what they got out of Mass Effect when they first released Mass Effect, or even when Inquisition, how successful Inquisition is, grim? I don't know, just worrisome, rather.
Okay, I'm going to say this, which is that about a week ago, I shared your assessment, maybe even more deeply, which is that I would run around say things like BioWare is dead to me, and I don't really care about the next Dragon Age. I mean,
I think you said that to one of my posts like yesterday or something.
Yeah, I mean, I want these games to succeed, obviously, but I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for it. That's the thing. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, there are reports now that there are meetings like every Wednesday, I think, now at the BioWare office where they're trying to figure out how to fix their problems. Like, I think what happened there is that, and I'm operating on a level of good faith here again, which is that I think these articles have been like a cold shower waking up kind of moment for BioWare.
Good.
Yeah, which is great. And so, you know, they're really focused now. Casey Hudson is really focused on trying to figure out how they can repair these problems that are now so, like, openly known by the rest of the press and the rest of the pundits out there. And the hope is that they figure out a solution, or they figure out a series of choices that will help bring them back on track. Not just from a project perspective for us consumers who want good games, but also from a mental health and employment perspective, because, you know, the fact that there are BioWare developers crying in the closet and being forced to take, like, psychological leave is really worrying and probably isn't very good for the health of the company. Good games or bad games.
Yep, and that's pretty much like a big update with Dragon Age, or even BioWare in general. We'll see what else Jason Schreier has in store for us next week on the TMG podcast. Jesus. Because that's a lot. And the reason why actually we brought this back in is simply because this is AAA games development. And when Jason Schreier's article came out, there's a lot of developers were saying, kind of feels familiar. And I just want to point out, even I want to express that even more, that, you know, this is how troublesome it can be, or how bad it can get.
I just want Dragon Age 4 to be good, man.
I just want Dragon Age 4 with spies now. That's what I want.
I don't want any more Corypheus and all that weak villain stuff.
Yeah.
But how about that Solas, huh?
Yeah.
How about that fucking egg?
Yeah. But there you go. Let us know what you think about the current development, or the latest in BioWare. Again, I really highly suggest you read the expose on that.
Or listen to our last episode, since we talked about it in a good few minutes, or a good chunk of it in the past episode.
And as well, you know, with how the new game on Respawn Entertainment, I want to let you know what you think about it. And I think that's it for 188.
Yeah.
Everybody, please send us memes of Dragon Age, of Respawn, of Fallen Order. We would love to see those.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the TMG podcast. The TMG podcast is made available for your listening via anchor.fm. You can also listen to this and other episodes via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, and other podcasting listening apps. So, also for game reviews.
Or everywhere.
Yeah, or everywhere.
Yeah.
Or any of your preferred listening apps right now. And, of course, for gaming reviews, features, and articles, you can visit our website, www.toomuchgaming.net. You can also visit us on Facebook at @TooMuchGaming. On Twitter at Too Much Gaming, and in our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TMGblog. Our differently named social media page.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the address. And yeah, we have a lot on the website. We have a lot also in terms of videos. There's a lot happening. I think, Matt, you released your review on New Dawn, and YouTube's already back on, so we actually have videos too, which is actually...
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. So we have a lot of content, so check it out.
Yeah, and if you guys want to learn more about how our social media got to be this way, you can pick up our spin-off comic, Too Much Gaming : Origins, published by Dark Horse Comics, coming out next month.
Nice. Thank you, Dark Horse.
What?
Also, don't forget, we are going to
E3. We're not going to E3. 3.